I want to read something from the scriptures today. And if you will, just leave your Bible closed, okay? I just want you to listen to what I am saying, which I got from the scriptures. And I want you to stay with it very closely. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now, all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold the possessions and goods and divided them among all who as anyone has need. So continuing daily with one accord to the temple and the breaking of bread from house to house, they eat their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. I know that the majority of us in here today know those verses up and down and over and under and any way you want it. This has been a service that we sometimes have to go back and think about it. We look around and we see things that maybe we are not seeing. But brethren, let me tell you something. Our world is in bad shape. And our world that we live in is in bad shape. And we're not doing a whole lot for it. But I'm not going to talk about that because you might start out on me. But listen, brethren. I read a story a while back. It was about a man, 88 years. And he was one of the Supreme Court persons. His name was Oliver Wendell Holmes. And that man was well known. And one day he was on a train. He was going somewhere. And he was riding the train, and at times the man came by and said, "Let me see your thing you have." And he began to, you know, feel and walk and look and could see, well, what in the world? I don't know what's happened to it. I don't know what I did with it. And the drain man said, "Listen, you're a well-known man in our country. Don't worry about it. You just wait, and when you get home, you can write out the money need, and I'll send it to you." And he just didn't look happy about it. What was I doing? And he kept going. And he was still very upset, like you and I get on things like that. In fact, this sounds like me. But here it is. "My dear man, my problem is not where is my ticket, but my problem is where am I going?" Do you ever think about that? I run into things like that a lot. I will come to meet somebody and maybe knock on the door or something, and they get there. By that time, I forgot who I was coming to see. Brethren, this is It's silly to me at times, and it's silly to you, and that's all right. I still like to have fun, but I'm losing it. I don't know how many more days, years, months, if any, I'm going to be able to do that or just sit in a bed somewhere. That who is he? What is he? And I don't know who I am. I'm trying to get in as much as I can at this time. And over a year or two now, I've not preached a sermon at all. And I was wondering, what don't people like me? Is there something wrong there? But brethren, this is important that we help one another and that we come to one another and lift up one another. You know, I read about a certain denominational church, and they were sending in their annual report. And here's a little list of what they had. Number of members added by baptism? None. Second, number of members added by transfer? None. Number of members added by letter? None. They weren't making too well, were they? The church there that this was to? Not getting anything. Number of members dismissed by a letter? 5. Number of members who died? 3. Amount given to home missions? 0. Amount given to foreign missions? 0. What's wrong? What's wrong with us? Why can we not just say hello to somebody? Get acquainted with them a little bit? And then work it into God's Word. You don't have to preach him a big long sermon. You don't have to jump on him and say, "Now listen, I'm talking to you." Those people are going to get, "Well, I'm walking from you." And they're out. And I can go around and say, "Oh, well, look at me, I'm great." Brethren, please pray for me, for us, that we might consider to be what God wants us to be. I have been in the Lord's church for all my life. From the time that I can remember my dad taking my body, I'm the little boy, I'm the last one. 2 brothers, 3 sisters. So it's 3 and 3. But I can remember my dad carrying me in his arms as I was growing and developing. And so it is that there's really no such thing, though, as we come to a real church today that we need to be building and members of. Every church has an imperfect preacher. That's me, in case you forgot. But that happens. The people, many of them, are very imperfect people. They're not listening. They're imperfect leaders. Every church has strengths and weaknesses. Every church excels in a few things and fails in a lot of things. But while no church is perfect, it is very obvious that some churches flourish while others flounder. Isn't that strange? When I was back up in Maryland, you get into some of the big congregations there of the Church of Christ. And we were beginning to build there where we were. And I realized that the times were coming and the years were coming. 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35. And we finally moved. But brethren, churches were growing at that time. But let me tell you something. What makes a church a great church? Is it having a great preacher? No. A great worship service? No. A great attendance? No. A great church building? No. Are great programs? No. What is it? Here in Acts chapter 2, we've got something in gold. We need to hear what we are. You know, I want you to consider something, that this church, now think about it, this is the first one, and it began to build over the years. And then, of course, you begin to have problems and difficulties and so forth and so on. But look, now listen to me. I don't want to think you say that I'm trying to be mean to you or you are not listening good. But I just want you to hear. I've got my hearing aids on. And I know my elders got them on. And you can bring me the money, okay? Listen, the church began, it had what? No building. They met many places. And they maybe had to split up in groups to preach. In this spot, and this spot, and this spot, and on it goes. At that time of the beginning of the church, there was no Bible college educated preacher. But what was happening? Souls were being saved. No associated and no associate minister or youth minister. They didn't know what those things were in those days. I didn't know. Long Island. Those things. But we had the church and we were growing. And things were being done. There was no family life center. We can get off on that and leave the Word of God. No sound system. Listen, we didn't need it. We just talked. And we got people going. No video equipment, no hymn books, no church sign, no Sunday bulletin. And yet, it was the fastest growing, most evangelistic, most dynamic church in the New Testament. As we go back to our scriptural text in Acts chapter 2, let's look at a few things. Number one, in case you want to write this in your mind, and I'll go real slow. They made, you got it? Okay, listen. They made a great commitment. Look at verse 42 of Acts there, chapter 2. I want you to notice those two words. They continued steadfastly. Are we doing that, brethren? Are we continuing things? Now, I'm not against watching television. I'm not against walking or talking about other things. But I just want us to know something. That sometimes, if we're not careful, I come out of here and you come out of here. Well, how'd you think about the game last night? Well, what did our preacher say? What was he talking about? We're supposed to be talking to him about the Lord. Forget these other things for a while. And let Jesus talk to us through his word. I don't think a lot of our members know what the word is, brethren. They continued steadfastly, and that means they were deeply devoted and deeply committed. You think about that? Deeply to get into this. First thing here, the apostles' doctrine. Remember when Jesus gave his apostles the great commission, he commanded them to do what? Go, therefore, to make disciples of all of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Matthew 28:19-20. Those early Christians, listen to me, brethren. Those early Christians didn't just make a decision to repent of their sins and be baptized on the day of Pentecost. They made deep commitments. We're in this. And the way they did this was to assemble them with other Christians on the first day of the week to listen to the apostles preaching. A lot of religious groups meet, and they do more time cutting up than they do listening to the gospel. Secondly, there, they were deeply committed to fellowship. When we think, excuse me again, when we think of fellowship, what do you think about? When you go home today, have you a nice lunch? Sit back. Maybe they want to take a little nap. And we'll sleep a little while. Then it'll be time to get up, eat a little bit. You know, we don't have much to say. Joyce and I, we spend a lot of time when the day is over. And we talk to one another. And we talk about this and about that. But it's usually about things that are important. Things of the Bible. The Word of God. And brethren, we've got to realize we need fellowship. Fellowship meant much more to those early Christians than simply eating a big meal after church on Sunday. It's not wrong to eat. I've gone with some here and we've gone to a place and we'd eat. But sometimes we can forget. If you will look down at verse 44 and 45, it will give you a clearer understanding of what fellowship means. In verse 44, now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. Fellowship. What is it, brethren? Do you like it? And I don't mean to get fellowship together and say, woohoo, let's play this game, let's do that. Those are all things that are all right. But I think too much we get carried away step by step, year by year by year. I'm not against football. I'm not against baseball. I'm not against all of them. I used to be great people. And listening to them and going to their things. And when we lived in Maryland, we had all kinds of places we could go. But brethren, let me tell you this. As I began to think more and more about this, I began to let that fade in away. And I don't know who in the world today is in the baseball or football or whatever it is. I just don't keep up with that anymore. The Lord is good. And fellowship to those early Christians meant a willful and joyful surrender and sacrifice. One has to wonder how big our churches today would be if everyone had to empty out their bank accounts and their closets and their pantries and for the good of anyone in the church. So they were deeply committed to the apostles' doctrine and the fellowship. Brethren, these are things right out of the Bible. They're not mine. They were committed to the breaking of bread. In New Testament times, the breaking of bread is used two different ways. One usage, a breaking of bread, refers to a common meal, like eating in someone's home. The other usage, the breaking of bread, refers to the partaking of the Lord's Supper. Do we properly teach the Lord's Supper? Do we scoot through it as quickly as we can and go on to something else? Well, they were deeply committed to the prayers. Prayer needs more work, not making fun. We might need to have more praying. And I'll talk to his wife. But I talk sometimes to the praying that maybe we need a little more praying and not as much preaching. Preaching is needed. And our brother does a wonderful job at it. But sometimes I think we just need to hear some preaching. Not the same thing that we just go over and over and over. But you look at some of the new and you're good. The average Sunday school in America churches has less than 66 in attendance. The average worship attendance in America churches is 84. And less than 50% of those listed on a church membership roll book attend worship service on a regular basis, less than 50%. Is it any wonder that why so many of our churches in America are struggling or dying away? Look at our age. And you go back to the other congregations in this area and you see the same thing. Well, I've talked way too much and I have way too much preaching. But I know you're tired. Brethren, let me just put it this way. I love the Lord. And I know you love Him too. But let's do anything we can to get people to understand the Scriptures and to understand, Maynard, what are we doing? I know I don't have much time, but I hope you do. And if we have some today who have not obeyed the gospel, I'll sit down with you, or the elders here will sit down with you and see what can be done. But really, let's look around us and see what we might be able to do. We might need to just encourage one another, build up one another, and say, Maynard, you got me thinking about something today, and I'm looking forward to it. If you're in any way, won't you come forward while we stand and sing?